Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Worst Girl Gang Ever is a practical self-help book about miscarriage, pregnancy loss, and baby loss, written by Bex Gunn with Laura Buckingham. It grew out of the author's work as co-founders and hosts of the podcast and support community of the same name. And it is shaped by lived experience as well as guidance from experts. The book does not present loss as something to get over quickly or privately. Instead, it addresses the confusion, isolation, and silence that often follow miscarriage, and it offers readers a clearer way to talk about grief and recovery. Its purpose is both emotional and practical to validate experience, reduce shame, and provide tools that help readers and their families move through loss with more clarity. As a book in the bereavement and emotional health space, it stands out for combining directness, compassion, and community-oriented support rather than treating miscarriage as a purely medical event. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing miscarriage as grief that deserves recognition. A central idea in the book is that miscarriage and baby loss create real grief, even when that grief is not always acknowledged by others. The authors explicitly reject the idea that loss must be minimized because it is early, private, or hard for other people to understand. This matters because many readers come to miscarriage feeling that their reaction is somehow excessive or socially inconvenient. By stating that grief is valid and not disproportionate to the loss, the book removes a major source of shame. That framing also changes the recovery process. Instead of asking readers to move on quickly, it asks them to recognize what happened and to give themselves permission to respond honestly. This is not only emotionally reassuring but structurally important, because grief that is denied often becomes harder to process. The book, therefore, functions as a corrective to a culture that often treats pregnancy loss as something to be handled quietly rather than mourned openly. Secondly, using the idea of a new language to explain loss, one of the book's most distinctive concepts is the idea that after pregnancy loss, people feel as if they have forgotten how to speak and must learn a new language. This is more than a metaphor. It captures the practical problem that ordinary social language often fails to express the complexity of miscarriage grief, and that well-meaning listeners may not understand what a bereaved parent is trying to say. The book treats that gap as a communication problem as much as an emotional one. By naming the experience as a shared language built from pain, it gives readers a way to understand why conversations about loss can feel frustrating, lonely, or incomplete. It also implies that part of recovery involves teaching others how to listen and respond. That is an important shift because it places some of the burden of understanding on the wider social circle, not only on the person grieving. The result is a framework that helps readers speak more clearly about an experience that is often met with silence or awkwardness. Thirdly, building community through honesty, dark humor, and mutual recognition, the book is closely tied to the author's wider support platform, and that community aspect is one of its defining strengths. Rather than presenting healing as a solitary process, it emphasizes belonging, shared experience, and the relief that can come from hearing others say they understand. The tone is described as raw, honest, and sometimes darkly humorous, which is important because it mirrors the emotional complexity of loss rather than smoothing it over. That tone makes the material feel less clinical and more recognizably human. The book also uses the language of a gang or club to signal solidarity, but it does so with clear awareness that this is not an identity anyone would choose. The point is not to romanticize grief. It is to show the community can soften isolation. For readers, this matters because miscarriage often comes with invisibility. The book offers an alternative, a place where the experience is named, shared, and met with recognition instead of discomfort. Fourthly, combining emotional validation with practical recovery guidance, this book is not only about feeling understood. It also aims to provide practical guidance for the period after loss, which is why it is positioned as a guide to recovery rather than just a reflection on grief. The descriptions of the book consistently emphasize tools, knowledge, and guidance, suggesting a structure that helps readers move from immediate emotional shock toward more manageable next steps. In this category, practical support matters because bereaved parents often face decisions about medical follow-up, communication with family and friends, returning to work, and coping with ongoing reminders of what happened. A book in this space is most useful when it helps readers feel less unprepared for those realities. The value of this approach is that it does not separate emotional pain from everyday functioning. Instead, it recognizes that recovery after miscarriage is lived through ordinary decisions and conversations. That makes the book especially relevant for readers who want more than reassurance and need a grounded, usable framework for navigating the aftermath. Lastly, extending support to partners, families, and people around the bereaved, although the book is centered on miscarriage and baby loss, its approach has wider implications for the people surrounding the bereaved. the source material makes clear that the authors want to open dialogue around miscarriage so that shame, judgment, and isolation are not reinforced by silence. That means the book is useful not only for those who have experienced loss directly, but also for partners, relatives, friends, and colleagues who want to respond more appropriately. This is an important dimension, because support after pregnancy loss often breaks down not through cruelty but through uncertainty. People do not know what to say, so they say very little, and that silence can intensify loneliness. By giving readers a shared language and validating grief openly, the book indirectly teaches better forms of support. It encourages others to acknowledge loss without minimizing it, to listen without correcting, and to understand that healing does not follow a neat timetable. In that sense, the book works as both a personal recovery guide and a social guide to more humane responses to bereavement. In conclusion, The Worst Girl Gang Ever is best suited to readers affected by miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or baby loss, as well as partners, friends, and family members who want to understand the experience more responsibly. Its main benefit is that it combines emotional validation with practical orientation, so it is not only compassionate, but usable. Readers looking for a book that names grief directly, reduces shame, and offers language for difficult conversations will find it especially valuable. What sets it apart from many other books in the same category is its strong community identity and its refusal to treat loss as a private problem to be managed quietly. The authors draw on lived experience, podcast-based support, and expert-informed guidance, which gives the book both authenticity and structure. It also stands out for its tone, honest, raw, and occasionally darkly humorous, without losing seriousness. That balance helps it feel less institutional and more personally relevant, in a field where many titles focus either on clinical information or emotional reassurance. This book brings together grief support, communication, and solidarity in a way that feels immediate and distinctive. If you would like to support Beck's Gun, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.